Hello and welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the podcast where each week I explore what it means to be a kick-ass and kind adult in our modern world. Expect strong language and viewpoints, as no topic is out of bounds here. My guests and I will navigate the complete spectrum from wildness to responsibility with compassion and curiosity rather than expectation. I'm Ebony Allard and I'm a misfit turned maven, an author, a coach and your host for Adulting with Ebony. Come on then, let's do this. Hey everyone and welcome to this week's podcast. I am joined today by the gorgeous Lara Rose Duong, who is also known as the Modern Money Witch. She is a divinely guided woman who mentors activated sacred women to define prosperity and luxury on their own terms. Working in corporate land in a traditional financial advising setting, she found that there just was a big piece missing from the conversation. So now she gets to engage in a full spectrum conversation around money and prosperity in all areas of our life. She's all about soul work, and I am really excited to chat to her today. Hello.
Hello, hello. I'm so excited to be here, and I lost my voice right at that moment. And you have such a dreamy voice. I just need to say that out loud, because when you were talking there, I was like, wow.
Are you beautiful. Sure that's just not the accent thing where you're like, oh, she sounds so quaint in English?
It's the quality of your voice.
Oh, well, that really makes me feel very special. Thank you. I've been starting all of these conversations by asking my guest what adulting or adulting means to you.
It means so many things, but the first thing that comes to mind is that we get to dream big like kids, but we have the responsibility to carry out that dream. Mm-hmm. And that's where the adulting comes into play for me, is going, okay, I've dreamt this, now how do I real life this? And knowing that, yes, like in the participation of my divine team and my community supporting me to make it happen, or to create it. At the end of the day, though, it's my actions and my choices that bring it about.
I love it. Yeah. Love that. So true. Like, and okay, so been having these conversations with people for a little while now. We've been kind of unpacking what it means. And one of the reasons I wanted to start having this conversation is about that line and that spectrum between wildness and responsibility. And I feel like you summed that up so beautifully. And to me, being an adult, like actually some of my favorite parts of being an adult are actually about very childish things. So like getting to be playful, getting to realize, or real life, like you said, the things that I can imagine and dream of.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And yet there's this whole conversation around adulting, which is like very grown up, very dry, very much about responsibility with none of the fun thrown in, mm-hmm. right? So many people are like, you know, there's that meme you must have seen 1,000 times, which is like, I don't want to adult today.
And I relate to that image quite often. and my love and I, we laugh at that quite often. He'll send it to me every once in a while when he's having a day. But then we get to do like the really fun stuff that I think about, like at nighttime, when we get to create our whole evening without anybody dictating it. So it doesn't have to be dry. Like sometimes for total kicks, like we push our couches together to create a cuddle boat, throw on the fire and like, you know, make popcorn and like make a big pillow blanket fort inside the boat, or our cuddle boat, and like watch movies and stuff and have a great time. Like that's adulting as well, because we made that choice.
I love that. When I was a kid, I could not understand why at a certain age people stopped having sleepovers. Like I love sleepovers as a kid, and even now, like sometimes I invite my friends over and I'm like, come for a sleepover, it'll be fun. But why do grown-ups stop doing that? Like why? It makes no sense to me.
I totally hear you. And sometimes the best conversations happen throughout the night. Especially like I'm thinking about like when I go on retreats, which is when I feel like I'm having sleepovers again, and some of the best medicine happens right there in the middle of the night. Like we wake up and we're like, oh my gosh, I just had this dream or this crazy thought came through, and we like jam it out. It's so much fun.
I really hear you on that. It's really interesting. What came through as you're talking is earlier this year, I went to Montana with some of my mastermind sisters, and the hotel that the coach who was leading it said we should stay at was more than I'd ever paid before for a hotel, right? So the four of us were like, hey, do you want to like share a room? And for kind of my English friends listening, American hotel rooms are huge. And if they, like, you can get a king double. I don't think you get that here, right? But in, like, you can get a king double. So two king size beds in one room. And so the four of us all bunked up together and we shared this room for a long weekend. And before I went, it was done from a place of like, this needs to happen for necessity. Like, I don't really want to. I would much rather have my own space. I'd much rather like sleep alone, all of that. It was the best thing I could have done because we had so much fun all hanging out together.
Oh, that's so awesome. And quite often when we go, I mean, when I think about going to the hotels and like group settings, I'm like, I need my privacy so I can have a time out. Like that kid that needs to be put in the corner to have a moment to pull themselves together. But I love this idea. So I know some of my girlfriends in town, like they'll go and rent a hotel. Like we have a beautiful resort nearby here called Sparkling Hills Resort. There's like 3 million Swarovski crystals like infused into this hotel. And so they'll go like just for a weekend and do the whole sleepover, hang out just as girls. And it looks like so much fun. Now I feel like I should be a part of that because that sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, I don't know. Like it's definitely something I've developed, like becoming more girly or more open to that thing, right? So in my teens, I'm probably much older than you. In my teens, I remember watching the Crossroads movie with Britney Spears and being like, no one is that girly. Like, no one like has pillow fights. No one does that whole thing. It's just make-believe. Like, why do you want to? And now I'm like, I want to do that. I want to do that.
Pillow fights are the best, especially when they're unexpected. Yeah. And I like using pillow fights with Aiden if he's in a grumpy mood. I'll just grab a pillow and start whacking him with it and laugh as much as I possibly can. And it always shifts the energy in the mood.
Yeah.
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 It's fantastic.
So let's talk about money. I mean, this feels like a weird segue, but it's your thing. And what I particularly love around your work is the witchiness of it, the like magic and the kind of very, very different attitude or way that you talk around money than I've ever really seen before.
Oh, thank you for that feedback. And I think this conversation of where it started is perfect. It is a perfect segue because for me personally, in order for me to enjoy Money Honey is to make it fun, is to find all the ways to make it enjoyable and laugh about it and take it a lot less seriously.
Yeah.
And it's incredible when we move into that space, that's when I feel like, not just feeling, that's when I've witnessed people and myself become more wealthy in so many ways.
You have to bring the fun to the table outside, like watching this, like I am personally, and this is like, I take such ownership of this, so bored of seeing another luxury brand or like more people being like, in order to enjoy, like enjoying money is about stuff and things and like status. And like, it's, I don't know. It's just, it's very serious. Like you said, and like, there's there's an edge and an energy and a persona to it that just doesn't excite me. Mm-hmm. And so when I see your stuff, it for me it's playful, it's fun, it's juicy, and that I can get on board with. And that, like, for me, my journey around letting go of my money stuff has been about making it fun, about making
it yes fun. Yeah, and making it like play, like you're playing games. And I didn't realize until I was talking to people, like, I have fun when I go to the bank. Like, I make it a game. And when I sit down with my banker, we have like fun conversations and I ask him questions and I make it a really good time for myself. And like at home, I store my cash in like honey pots and they're like loaded with cinnamon. So they smell so good. And when I go to the bank to deposit my cash in there, like there's cinnamon flying everywhere and all of my bank accounts are named something different. So even the teller's having a good time because they look at the names and they're like, what is going on here? And they're laughing. So we're having a great time. I don't know about like where in your area, but here we still have, at least the bank I go to, like these big, huge coin machines where you can go and like dump all of your change in and watch it spin around.
Wow.
And then
wow.
on the screen, it like, you see all these like numbers flying up and you're adding it wow. up and then you, get a receipt saying like how much it is and you go deposit yeah. your bank. And so I fully have a piggy bank and at my house, and Aiden and I were constantly throwing change in it. And we actually get excited to see it full so we can go to the machine to dump it in and watch it go. It's so much fun.
Have you always had this relationship with money?
Absolutely not.
So tell me about what transitioned or transformed or transmuted your relationship with money.
Oh my goodness. I think definitely observing my mother, in the sense that she was having a lot of success with her money and she taught me a lot, but there was a lot of seriousness about it too. And I was looking around at how much I hated looking at my bank accounts. I hated looking at like my taxes, my bookkeeping. I used to actually physically hide money in myself. And so I'd surprise myself. I'd be like, oh, there's like $50 in a book. And I genuinely forget that it was there.
Yeah.
And then also plus once I went into actual like finance, the finance industry, just seeing how terrified people were to sit down and talk to me. And I was like, I am not a scary person at all. Like, why are you like,
they weren't scared
like
of
shaking?
They were scared of the money.
Yes, exactly. But they'd just be shaking and like quiet and nervous. Yeah. Or like almost angry, and they kind of wouldn't want to talk about the money, but like that's what they were there for. So when I was watching this go down, like I've got to find a way to make this fun and safe and exciting for people. And I was already kind of doing that for myself already, like doing the spiritual work behind the scenes. And I was like, let's just bring this to the forefront. And plus, like that's the only way that I can really talk about it is. And make it feel comfortable for myself is to make it fun.
I love that. I, as you were talking, I was remembering just a couple of years ago. So for those that don't know, so yeah, a few years back, I was £25,000 in debt, had got so scared about it and really like did that thing of sticking. It happened very, very quickly, but also I stick my head in the sand. I was like, I don't want to be responsible for this. I don't want to take personal responsibility. I want someone to come and rescue me. And they didn't. And actually it was the most powerful thing that could have happened to me because I have really fab team basically said to me, you know, this is your shit, sort it out. So I did. And yes. In that process became an adult really, like, but it was hard. And some of that, like dealing with the credit card companies, dealing with the banks, and maybe sometimes they'd phone me like 5-6 times a day and I would be in floods of tears. I'd be hot. There'd be so much, so much guilt and shame. And like, I just remember the heat of emotion, how much emotion was attached to my money.
Yes.
And as you were talking and I remembered all of that, I realized that now it's changed. Like, so I've just been away. I got back and I have my tax bill arrived while I got back and I opened it and went, wow, I'll deal with that later and carried on. And like, so nothing about it's terrified me. Nothing scares me. I just look at it and went, I must have earned a lot of money this year.
Yes.
And it's such a different... Like, it's just a very different energy.
Oh, that is so powerful. And I mean, taking that moment to, it's kind of like bringing it back to right at the beginning when we're saying we get to dream it and then real life it ourselves as adults. Like, there, no one stepped in to be your hero and you got to be that for yourself. And that is so powerful. And I know, like, with a lot of the women that we can hear the knock. I don't know if you can hear the knocking, but Aiden's chopping wood out there right now. How romantic and very Canadian. My man's chopping wood right now.
Carry on. Let's not get distracted by the man.
Yes. But when it comes to your Money Honey story, you get to do that too. When you get to step in that space of, wow, like all the money comes to me and I get to like bless it, bestow it and share it and nourish the world with it. And when we come from that space, it becomes really exciting. Like then we're excited for money to come for us. We're excited to deal with these scenarios. So we make it easier to like to sit on stacks and pass it around rather than being terrified. And you know, the systems that we live in don't really make it easy for it to be fun at first. Like in school, we don't talk about banking. We don't talk about getting loans or doing your taxes for the most part. So when you become, in quotes, an adult, but in terms of your age, it is like a smack in the face. You know, people are like, no one told me about this monster that I have to deal with.
It's really interesting for me, right? So the two areas that kind of become available to you as an adult are money and sex. And like these are these things, are rites of passage as you become an adult. And yet our society is terrified to educate around these two areas. And I just don't understand that.
I don't understand it either. Especially when both areas have such a deep impact on your life.
Yeah. Yes. And are like have the potential to be fucking amazing.
Hello, yes.
And also like really destructive and really painful.
Yes, 100%. And for that reason, I think it does need to be healthy and fun around money and around sex, especially around sex. Holy, especially when you involve money and sex all together in the same space and room. It's gotta be safe and fun and healthy and consensual.
And so when you're doing work with people now around money, does all this other stuff come in as well?
100%. I mean, this might get dark and twisty for one second, and it might be, it's quite relevant with the whole Me Too campaign and women coming out and standing together with solidarity, and not just women, men as well. Quite often, I find that when there's issues with like receiving issues around their current Money Honey story, we can look back and there's some form of like sexual trauma in their history. I'm not saying this is every single person, but in some capacity, it's there. And so there's a lot of talking about that and healing through that space and reclaiming their power or our power in that, in our own sexuality, in our own energy, and feeling safe in our bodies again so that we can be receivers.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting to look at the, correlation between these two, because it's about energy and it's about receiving.
Yes.
Yes. It's about this kind of constant flow of energy as well. Like it's, we are, we're in a society that comes from this place of fear and lack, which means that we really want to hold on. So we want to hold on to our partners. We want to hold on to our cash. We're not willing to hold it with an open hand. And yet when you get to that place, when you get to a place of just being able to hold that energy in an open palm so that it can leave if it wants to, and it can come back if it wants to, then something, at least for me, something really shifted.
Oh, big time. And holding like that open palm energy to me is like being tapped into an infinite stream that comes to you and leaves, comes to you and leaves. And so there doesn't have to be a sense of scarcity in that moment, because you can give away and share with discernment as much as you want, knowing that there is always more flowing up in always. And in our current society, I feel like for a long time, power in general, the idea of power has been equated with something that's greedy, misused, and awful. But truly, I mean, as witches, as women, as healers, whatever you want to call it, as misfits, our power fuels our dreams, fuels our actions. It's all in how you use it. And I mean, speaking of adulting and being a child, you know, Superman, no, was it Superman or Spider-Man? Okay.
Tell me, what was your point?
The whole idea of with great power comes great responsibility.
But, I'm going to get shouted like at Spider- now. I'm like, is it Batman? Spider-Man?
I think it's like Uncle Ben saying it to Spider-Man, but I could just be confusing. I hope I don't get burned alive for this.
I'm going to get so
right
shouted out about this. Like my geek credibility just went straight out of the window.
Right down the drain. Yeah. I'm so sorry for throwing you under the bus for this one.
It's going to really bug me now. I feel like it was a Bruce Wayne thing, but it probably wasn't. And I've lost our train of thought.
It's all good. Oh yeah, the idea of like working with your power in a beautiful way. It doesn't have to be like scary or greedy or vicious. Because a lot of times too, when I meet with people, they equate having great wealth as being something very dirty and evil.
It's really interesting. So for me, I used to say to like my coaches or when I was in therapy or like during this kind of personal development process that I've been on for a long time, I used to say, I'm scared of my own power. I'm scared of my power. Like I don't want to be too powerful. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And when I really learned that power is just the ability to affect change, I suddenly became okay with it because I was like, you know what, change is the lifeblood and the life force of being in a human body because it is happening. Like it's the only constant is change. And if I'm saying that being powerful is the ability to exist in this world and evolve constantly and like be okay in that place, then I'm okay with my power. I'm really okay with being powerful.
Yes. Beautifully. Underscore exclamation point. I love everything you just said. And that's why a lot of the conversation I hear, whether it's like around sex, money, love, all of that stuff, valuing yourself, it all comes back to reclaiming your power and owning it.
So I was going to say, we're coming towards the end of our time together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Short little burst of conversations in people's ears. If someone is like still in that place of feeling really emotional, really hot and really uncomfortable just around thinking about their money, what's like the first step or like one thing that they can do to start their transformation or to start their journey into being more powerful?
There's so many things. I'm thinking back to what you were talking about, that ostrich syndrome. Because I've lived it. I live it sometimes still. And I think the most powerful thing you can do is just to look at the situation with open eyes and clarity, knowing that whatever you're seeing doesn't define you. Yeah. It's how you I don't want to use the word react. It's how you
respond.
Interface with the moment that defines you, but not for your whole life either, just for that moment.
I think that's a really important thing to say. Like we're talking about power, like everything can change. Mm-hmm. Everything can change. And if I knew 6 years ago when I was standing there with, you know, 5 figures of debt.
Yes.
That I would be able to make that in a month. it just wasn't even in my reality then. And you know what? It also hasn't happened overnight because I'm really fed up with people saying it happens overnight.
Yeah.
It's taken 6 years of like attention and focus and belief and mindset work and practical steps and like all of that stuff, right?
Yeah.
It's absolutely possible to change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I just want to celebrate you for a moment because being able to like harness that much wealth means that you are nourishing the world at a high level right now. Like not just the clients you work with, but all of the people that you employ, all the people you interact with, even the vendors and the shops you go to and share your money, honey, with that you've earn through your business.
And I have
beautiful, beautiful.
Well, I have a confession to make on that, and we'll wrap up with it. But
okay,
like, my big confession there is I am an adult, but mm-hmm. I do not retain wealth well, right? So whilst okay. it is possible for me to make a lot of money or to receive a lot of money, one of the things that I'm really working on is the ability to retain it, because it comes in and it goes out.
All right. But you're in the stream.
Yeah, just as fast as it comes in, it goes out. And like, so that is my confession. I am an adult, but I sometimes overspend a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I hear you on that one. I go through rounds of that too, of overspending, and then I check myself. I'm like, okay, is this the world we want to live in right now? Yeah. And then I have to look at, well, why the fuck are you overspending right now, LR? Like, seriously, what's going on?
You know what? I used to overeat and now I overspend. And I really acknowledge that that's a shift in behavior, and it's not all the time. It's a new form of emotional, like, and so mm-hmm. I'm working on it. Like, it's a mega confession for me. Like, this is where I'm doing my work right now. Like, really looking in, like, when I spend this money, is this something that is going to make me feel expansive, or is this something that's going to contract me? Is this something
absolutely
expansive, or is this something that I'm doing to numb, forget, you know, all of that? Mm-hmm. So, I want to hear your confession.
Oh my goodness. I think the very first thing I thought of, like, I'm an adult, but I still call my dad anytime anything's broken in my house.
Like, but you have the man who can chop wood.
Can chop wood. Yes. And I still call my dad.
I love that.
And I still call my mom to make, like, big decisions. Even I caught myself the other day calling her to say, hey, you know, I have an opportunity to buy a bunch of appliances for my house at a good price. And I still shop talk it with her, because even as an adult, even as the modern money witch, I still need a tribe around me to check me around my choices. And so, like, you know, for me, it's, I don't know if it's a childish thing or more of like, I've got to the point where my mom is wise. She's lived a lot of life and she can advise me. At the end of the day, I still have to take the action step, but I still really rely on her as an advisor in my life.
I love that. Thank you so much for that, and for coming and chatting with me today and joining me. All of the notes and links that we've mentioned or anything like that will be on the show notes. But if people want to go find you, where's the best place for them to come and hang out?
To come and hang out, the Richwood Circle with LRD on Facebook. I'm on Instagram at Lara Rose Duong, and to find out more about me and my offerings, head to my website, which is www.lararoseduong.com. But I love the Facebook group because we get to hang out and chat and share and witness each other.
Yeah, and I can absolutely vouch for it. It's a magical place to be. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you so much. I feel so honored to be part of this conversation.
This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony. You have been great. Thank you so much for all of your support. Please keep listening, liking, rating, sharing so that more people can come and enjoy and engage with us. Really, thank you. I'll see you next time.